With the launch of ChatGPT, Sam Altman and OpenAI reinvigorated our imaginations and fears of a world with artificial intelligence. While the company looked like a stunning success from the outside, a battle was brewing within on what the future of AI should be. Almost a year after launching ChatGPT, that battle erupted into a war when the company fired its charismatic CEO, Sam Altman. From Wondery, Business Wars is a podcast about the biggest corporate rivalries of all time. And in the newest season, host David Brown digs into the philosophical differences within OpenAI that culminated in Sam Altman's shocking firing, the chaos that followed, and what it means for the future and safety of AI in the modern world. Follow Business Wars on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. And for more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts, with shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more. Wondery means business.
Hide self-view, drag this down in the corner. Boom. Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, no, man.
I could have been told him to start on time. That's on you, man.
It is. All right. So anyway, I am Kai Rizdahl. This is Make Me Smart, the Daily Edition. It is a hybrid today. Ordinarily, this would be hollowed out shell Thursday. It is instead Friday for me. Molly's got the big show tomorrow. So thank you for doing that. So it's Friday for me, kind of Friday for Molly, too. So we're doing Economics on Tap a little bit early. There we go.
Yeah. And we're so much less hollowed out. Because we get to do the fun show a day early. It's frankly delightful. And yes, after a little bit of an absence, we are back on YouTube. We feel like, you know, scarcity drives excitement.
Yeah.
But yeah, it seems to all be working. It is exciting to see everybody in the live YouTube chat. We're having a drink. I'm keeping it simple today. I'm just keeping it simple. I have a Modelo Especial with some lime in it. I limed it up. I garnished it.
I've got this is 2 weeks in a row for a stone beverage for me because it's what's in my fridge. I'm having the delicious IPA. Can we even see that? I hope we can. Let's see. It's a citrusy IPA with lemon drop and El Dorado hops. 7.7 alcohol by volume. It's going to be quite tasty.
You can tell because it's in the name.
Yes, that is true. That is true. Okay. So, standard format today. It's a couple of news items and a couple of things that gave us a chuckle, and then we will send all y'all on your merry way.
Yeah. Right? Honestly, too.
Okay.
I'm getting a little bit of a slightly hopeful vibe from today in our news story. Slightly hopeful, not hollowed out.
All right. Okay.
I hope. I think. I want to believe. Okay. You go first.
All right.
Because it's a big one.
I will go first, and I will start with the governor of Texas, a guy by the name of Greg Abbott, who has been, if you've been following the news or just randomly aware of what's going on with this virus, he has been leading the charge on opening things up. Texas is a red state, mostly still, depending on how the election goes, but it's red. It does want to get back to business, as do parenthetically we all. Governor Abbott has been really vociferous about that. But he has read the data. And he has said, and I'm bringing this up and I'm making this my item because I think props are due here. Because when you're presented with facts that change the situation, then you got to change your mind. And Governor Abbott came out today with a statewide mandate for facial covering. To quote the governor, wearing a face covering in public has proven to be one of the most effective ways to slow the spread of COVID-19 while continuing to keep Texas businesses open. So he's trying to have it both ways. But the fact is, he's come around and he said, listen, wear a mask and that'll help everything. And as Molly and I have talked about, that helps. It helps a lot.
It's progress.
So props to Governor Abbott.
It's progress.
Props to Governor Abbott.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is socializing the idea. Like the idea is taken, arguably too long. But yes, it is progress. It will... You know, as tempting as it is to be like, finally, or no, whatever, like, it will save lives. Mm. Full stop.
Yeah, yeah. So this is an unabashed endorsement of what he's doing, for sure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
We have also, apparently, his lieutenant governor, on the other hand, still not having it. So
yeah,
they should have a talk. That guy sounds hardcore. We have also talked on the show about, I feel like we had a conversation one day that was basically, we said, like, look, the unemployment assistance is going to run out. The eviction moratoriums mm-hmm. are going to run out. PPP loans are going to run out. And then we are going to be faced with yet another cliff. And I said, I'm just gonna sit tight on this one because I believe that maybe against my better judgment, I believe that the Congress of the United States will not let all of those things happen at the same time, if only because it's just not good politics. And the New York Times on cue has a story today saying there is growing recognition across party lines that Congress will need to spend more money and soon to continue to prop up the American economy during the coronavirus recession, especially as some of these states start to close up again, reclose, pause the reopen, whatever language we're using now for that.
Yes. Yes.
Ixnay on the open A.
Yeah. I like a good yeah. pig Latin phrase, by the way. Okay.
Too.
So look, I hear that, but I also, I am not hopeful, and here's why I'm not hopeful. Number one, the Senate of the United States, and I think the House as well, is on summer recess from today till the 17th of July.
Nice for them.
So that doesn't
again.
That does not. Yes, yes. It's called a state work period. It's not a vacation. They are on recess to work in the state, which is fine. I have no problem with them going back to their districts and to their states because that's who they represent. But that leaves something like 8 working days. Until the aid runs out. Now, can they move fast when they have to? Yes, I think we saw in March they moved fast when they had to. I don't think they moved 8 days fast, but they moved pretty quickly. But more substantively, I am less hopeful than you that they will get something done before 31 July when the cliff happens, which is the expiration of the extra $600 and a bunch of other benefits. And I'm less hopeful just based on track record, right? I mean, certainly Republicans are coming around and Mitch McConnell is making the right noises, but I'm not I can't believe I have to say this. I am not sure they understand the economic gravity of the situation. Full stop.
Yeah.
I think that's
ultimately the question. I should say that the New York Times also notes in its subhead, lobbyists and lawmakers say the Trump administration is, quote, not deeply engaged. There's that as well. I don't
That's
know.
That's interesting. I'd be surprised if Mnuchin was not up on the Hill. I don't know. But anyway.
I would find it astonishing I shouldn't be astonished by anything, and this is why I say this is all tempered hope. I would find it pretty astonishing if it's not like they're starting from zero. I find it hard to believe that no work had been done toward crafting what a next round of help was going to look like, because I feel like in some ways this virus has been the sort of progression of this virus has been an exercise in patterns. We do see how patterns are going to go and they always go the same way, right? Like, I don't know why you always stood there and it's like, don't pee on my shoe and tell me it's raining. You tried to tell us that math wasn't real with respect to spread of the virus, you know?
Right.
Like, I wonder what's going to happen when all the money runs out. Oh, right. Everybody will be in serious trouble and the economy will be, you know, it's like, this should not be a shock to anybody and it shouldn't be a thing that nobody's thought about. I cannot imagine that they have 8 days to go from like, it never even occurred to us that we might have to spend more money to figure out a bill. It seems like it's more about closing disagreements.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
It's so clear what is the economically necessary thing to do. And I just don't understand why they're not doing it. I mean, literally, not to get all political here, but let's get political for 2 seconds. Literally, the fate of their party hangs on getting this done. Mm-hmm. Right? So,
I mean, if that's your one thing, if your one thing is the economy.
You had one job.
You cannot separate. What did you tweeted it the other day? Something like there was a headline that said the administration split in the White House.
There was a story on CNN and others. So CNN and others reporting that there's a split in the White House between wanting the president to focus on reopening the economy or focus on fighting the coronavirus. And I really tried not to curse a lot in that tweet because I get yelled at when I curse in tweets. But they're the same damn thing. Which I felt okay saying on Twitter, and I didn't get yelled at.
I think
it's amazing to me that nobody sees that. You know? It's crazy to me.
They're the same thing.
And it's delusional.
It's honestly, it's just like the Texas governor realizing and saying right. I want to have it both ways
you bet.
Is really like, yeah, this is how you can have it. You can have it with right. masks. I mean, ideally, you will also right. have it with masks, testing, and contact tracing, but apparently God doesn't give with both hands. It's a start.
What's the testing? Yeah, what's the testing situation up there, by the way?
I don't know what the testing situation specific. In Texas, apparently, it has been pretty good, I believe.
No, however, I mean where you are. I mean where you are.
Oh, where I am? It's good.
Yeah.
Seems good.
Okay.
Seems pretty good.
All right.
Yep. What I have been reading, though, is that nationally, because we are literally going in reverse with respect to this virus, we are about to run out of testing capacity again. And in places like Texas mm-hmm. and Arizona, where they've had these big surges, the testing capacity is not keeping up with the number of new cases.
Yeah.
Which is just like,
I know. Oh man, Charlton Thorpe filling his oats. Here I am reading the YouTube comments and here he comes.
Professional.
Oh my
What
goodness.
A professional.
Oh my goodness. I'll tell you what,
I'm
people
trying
have
to be hopeful.
On these,
I'm trying.
On these comments.
Trying to be
people
hopeful.
Have opinions
I know people
on
are
these
smart.
Comments, let me just tell you.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Huh. There we go.
Can we have a pick me up after our
Yeah,
dark
now
place?
Let's hit whoa, now let's hit the other Sting. Come on.
Man.
There you go. We're all about Sting. We should just play Stings for 15 minutes. Just Sting. Kyle Molly took the day off today. Here are some Stings that they like.
Here's some music. Enjoy.
Oh, my goodness. Also, what's up with my hair? Can I just? Is it like humid or what?
Hold on.
Sorry. I don't usually.
It looks fine. It's like
I did just get. I just got
it
back here. Well, there's a little thing. I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, you got a little cowlick.
Clark Kent. Anyway, sorry.
I did my own
okay,
color.
So
you can tell.
Yeah.
Okay,
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
It's all right.
My wife did too. And it's all faded by now. And that was like 4 days ago. But anyway. Okay. So I'm all masks today. I am all masks. And this one made me laugh out loud. I am, you know, because it's the thing. So Twitter, the company, Twitter, the Twitter handle, which is @Twitter, came out today and tweeted, you can have an edit button when everyone wears a mask. Which got me laughing out loud because heavy Twitter users are like, please, Twitter, give me an edit button. I made a typo or I said something stupid. And Twitter's like, you can have
Seriously?
An edit button when everybody wears a mask. That's it.
Yep.
Yeah. There you go.
Which,
that's it.
I mean,
I kind of like that.
We'll see. Hope springs eternal. Seems like an easy thing to promise Twitter, knowing that no one's going to. Stinkers.
Yeah.
It's funny, though. It's funny. Good troll.
Yeah.
Good troll.
There you go.
I have positive health news. Like sometimes you see positive, like,
okay.
What was the thing? There was like, you know, essentially malaria has been fixed and nobody noticed it.
Yes.
The thing that nobody is noticing as of June 29th, first reported on the 27th, is that apparently heart disease might be pretty close to fixed. Like, you know, years away.
Really?
But yes, in the first gene editing experiment of its kind, I'm now reading from the New York Times, scientists have disabled two genes in monkeys that raise the risk for heart disease. Humans carry the genes as well. The experiment has raised hopes that a leading killer may one day be tamed. Quote, this could be the cure for heart disease, said Dr. Michael Davidson, director of the Lipid Clinic at the University of Chicago Pritzker School of Medicine. Hmm. It will be a while, of course, before human trials can begin. It is like pretty early, but it was just, again, it was like a massive development that just sort of like zipped on by. And it was one shot, by the way. It was like a single shot that they gave the monkeys.
Wow. That'd be cool.
Yep.
That'd be cool.
I know.
Hope. We will take hope.
I agree.
Anywhere we can get it.
I'm going with hopeful days.
Anywhere we can get it. All right. Sorry. Wait, we got 3 minutes left.
I have another thing.
Yes?
Do you have another thing?
Okay, go ahead. Well, no, I was going to get a little bit of the feels. I've been having some feels lately.
Aww.
But you do your thing, and then I'll do mine.
Oh, no. Hit it. Nope. Get the feels.
No.
This seems important,
no.
This is important. This is a big thing, and I don't want to step on it.
I'm going to end on the feels. Go ahead. You do your thing.
Okay. All right. I did an interview the other day that left me actually very hopeful, and one of the questions, and look, I want to do more corroboration on this, but this is a biotech investor, somebody who knows this field really well. And we were having a conversation for an upcoming hour-long special that we're going to do. And I asked him in passing, like, hey, one comment I often see when people talk about rising caseloads is, what about deaths? And there's a question about leading, you know, whether they're a lagging indicator. But even so, the numbers don't totally seem to be rising as fast as the cases. And one of the things he said to me was, that's true. And that's a really important thing that isn't exactly being covered. Like when you look at the New York Times and it's like cases are up 83%, deaths are down 26%. Mm-hmm. He said a thing that's happening that we're not talking about is that in the process of flattening the curve, we have done one of the things that was so important about flattening the curve, which is help doctors figure out how to treat this. And so that even though there's no silver bullet for treating it, they literally figured out simple things like don't have the patients on their backs because they can't breathe as well.
Yeah, and, that I remember reading about that.
You know, and certain doses of steroids as an anti-inflammatory can make a huge difference. And so that like slowly and quietly and in ways that we're not talking about, we're improving outcomes for this disease potentially very significantly. And it made me like, it made me almost, I mean, it's, we need anything good. And it was a, it was a big deal.
Okay.
I was like,
okay,
dude.
See,
yeah, we can do it.
Come on. I want some props here because 2 minutes ago I said I got the feels and here's Molly Wood delivering the feels. So here's what I want to know. And I will happily go first. How you doing? Doing all right? It's been like, April, May, June. We're going on 4 months. How you doing? Seriously.
Are you asking me? But you can't ask me that. I will fall apart.
I'm asking you how you're doing. That's that. Because look, that's what this podcast is all about, right? It's you and me and making sure everybody else understands that they're not doing this by themselves. So how you doing?
You got to stop saying that. Well, that's like the scene.
If you're
going to
cry,
like, it's not your fault.
if you're going to cry, then I'm just going to tell you how I'm doing. I go up and down, right? And for a lot of reasons, this has been a tough week in marketplace. And there's just all kinds of exogenous stuff that is really difficult. But one hopes that people now understand the stakes. Because, I mean, I'll tell you, and I think I said this on a pod 3-4 months ago, whatever. I do a regular thing with the BBC on Fridays. And that first Friday when we were shut down, and I think it was the 13th, right? I think it was the Friday after the 11th of March, which is the date that, that you and many others came up with. And so I did this thing, and I cried on the air with the BBC. And I was like, well, that's new, because if you know me, that ain't it. I think we all understand now what's at risk. Because I don't think we did back then. I was just scared. And I don't think I'm scared anymore. I'm pissed at some people because they're not doing smart things. But I think we get it now. And I think that's the important part.
Yeah.
All right. That's it. Enough of that. That was Kai in the Fields on a Thursday. We're done now. Okay.
All right.
I'm going to start reading unless you're, if you're crying, if, okay, all right.
No, I'm good. I'm good. That was lovely and very true. And we will be back next week.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, man. Make Me Smart, which is the podcast you are listening to right now and hopefully every single day. Also, the big shows on Tuesdays is produced and directed by Sam Anderson. That's right. Our digital producer is Tony Wagner. Ben Hethcote produces videos, makes the live stream happen with the help of our intern, Ethan Parrish. Ben also, by the way, brand new uncle, which I think we talked about last Friday. Really cool.
Aww.
Erica Phillips writes, produces, does all kinds of magic for our newsletters and our smart speaker skills. So she hooks us up there.
And our Slack channel. Today's program was engineered by one thing that's so great about the show is that we're all just becoming a little Slack family. Today's program was engineered by Charlton Thorpe and, again, masterfully, I may add. Our theme music was composed by Ben Tolliday and Daniel Ramirez. The executive director of On Demand, also producing the show this week, is Satara Nieves. The senior vice president and general manager is Deborah Clark.
Here we go.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.